From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 26th day of June 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. In agricultural news, the Department of Energy wants automakers to voluntarily ensure cars can burn E85. 11 countries of the EU would like their union to allow member states to decide separately if it's okay to grow GMO crops within their borders. And the commodity index funds are under the gun in Washington, D.C. and in Chicago. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll tell you all about carbon sequestration. And it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat and at 534 and a quarter was up a penny and a quarter for the soft red. September at 563, up a penny and a half. And December up 1 cent at 587 and a quarter. Kansas City July hard red at 589 and a half, down 2 3/4 today. July corn futures at 384 and a quarter, up a penny and 3/4. September 391 and 3/4, up 1 3/4. December futures 404 and a quarter. The harvest month settled 2 3/4 higher. And the March corn at 416, up 2 1/4. May futures at 424 and a half, 3 cents higher. Soy complex now, July soybean futures $12 and a penny, 5 cents higher. August at 1128, up 1. September 1046, down 6. November futures down 11 at $9.91. And the January futures at 992. Down 13 1/4. July soybean meal at $405, up $7.70. The August at 371, up 420. July oil at 36.08, down 46. The August soybean oil 46 lower as well, at 36.24. June live cattle at 82.47 and a half, 52 1/2 cents higher. The August at 82.40, down 15 cents. And the August feeder cattle at 98.97 and a half, 2 1/2 cents higher. September futures a dime higher at $98.97 and a half cents. July lean hogs, $56.70, down 37 and a half cents. The August contract at $57.70, down $1.10 on this Friday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Settlement prices in for the crude oil. August contract at $69.16 a barrel, $1.07 lower. And the ethanol at $1.67.08, 9 tenths of a cent higher. Natural gas at $3.99, up 14 6 tenths of a cent. The RBOB gasoline at $1.87.07, 2 cents higher. July heating oil, diesel fuel, 4 2/10 of a cent lower at $1.73 3/10. The RBOB, by the way, was down to, not up to. And July propane futures at 82 4/10, up 4 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $940.70 an ounce, up $1.60. The Dow at 84.29 is down just about 42 points at this hour in its trade. And the U.S. dollar still trading 79.8. That's down 0.59. The CRB index today at 251.31 is up 5.24 on the afternoon.
Thanks to you, we're another $5,000 closer to having the money we'll need to provide you with the news and information you count on us for in the coming year. Now let's raise the remaining $159,000. Time is of the essence. We only have through Tuesday, but together we can do it. Call 217-244-9455 or log on to willpledge.org with your pledge. You have the power to determine what you'll hear on WILL Radio beginning Wednesday.
Right now, you'll hear the weather forecast. It says an excessive heat warning remains in effect in the metro east area of St. Louis, and heat advisories are in effect for portions of southern and western Illinois tonight. A few widely scattered thunderstorms across the two-state region. Otherwise, mostly clear and humid. Lows will range this evening from 64 in the north to 75 in the south. More on the agricultural weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us today. Hi, Mike.
Hey there, Todd.
Any good reasons to be superstitious today?
Well, only that we've got a couple big numbers coming out on Tuesday. I always get a little bit itchy and nervous and tend to look up a little bit more often during the report time periods and sleep a little bit less.
And your numbers for that report look like what?
Well, we're on the high end. We and Citigroup are the only people out there that are looking at bigger acres in corn. We're at 85.8 on the corn. Citigroup's at 86. Everybody else is less than March's number of around 85 or right at 85 million. For the beans, we're right in the middle of the pack at 78.5 million. Average guess is 78.31. That would be an increase of about 2 to 2.5 million. Trade guys that we talked to this week are pretty much universally saying that if we can get anywhere from less than 800,000 less to 1.3 million less in corn, that would be about neutral to slightly friendly. Anything around the 2 to 2.5 million more in beans, that would be neutral to maybe as you, if you go over 2.5 million and head, if you would head towards the 3 million acres increase, a million acreage increase, that would start to turn more into the bearish camp for the beans. So that's kind of where the lay of the land is. Obviously, one of the things that people aren't talking a lot about, but it's on, I think, everybody's mind is, can we form a bottom in wheat so that the row crops can start trading a little bit better supply and demand fundamentals and trade a little bit more of a weather market. Wheat has continued to be our big negative force in this market this week, especially with the corn.
It is one of your favorite crops to talk about, so tell me, can we form the bottom or not?
We think so, Todd, as long as that stocks number doesn't come in too much over 670 million bushels. That was the end-of-the-year supply number, ending stocks number that we got last month. This will confirm it, so we're hoping that the USDA doesn't jump it too much. Now, I did see one group out there had 690 million bushel ending stocks on the wheat. You go up above that level, I think that would start to be really, really negative to the trade in terms of we can't seem to pick up any demand even with a weaker dollar. And we were only at about 20% harvested last Monday in the hard red belt. That means we still probably have about another 50% of harvest to work through before anybody wants to take the chance and buy into it. Deliveries are another big issue that will be coming up after Monday's close. So that's where the wheat, if it's going to bottom, we think it should be right here right now because we've priced in a lot of negativity. The soft red wheat basis, the Chicago wheat basis in the Gulf has really jumped. It's held its premium. So we're hoping that cash is pointing to some firm prices here after the reports come out.
Well, if you look at the chart, I guess wheat turns around fairly quickly on occasion and certainly has done that the last year or so in the continuation lead option. So you get a bottom and it jumps back up and a bottom and it jumps back up and another bottom and it jumps back up. And I suspect that's what you're hoping for this time around?
We are. We really need it. The timing is of the essence here because the monthly charts, you talk about the charts and you don't know how important that is right now because these monthly charts in the corn and wheat in particular are getting to price levels that if we go too much lower, we'll start eroding and going below the support levels we've had for the last 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden we start talking about going back into the price ranges that we had to deal with the last 5, 7 years before this last run-up in 05, 06. And so we really don't want to have to lose those support levels because I think that would say a lot to the trade, and I think the trade would start to read into that, that maybe we don't have to worry as much about inflation, that there's still a slack enough demand in the global economy that demand's not going to be anything to write home about, and we will at least keep supplies adequate. So we're at a point here, especially corn would be number one because we touched some of the major monthly chart supports in the corn this week or came real close to it. Wheat, we drop another 10, 15, 20 cents all of a sudden we're eroding into those lower levels that we haven't seen for several years. So, yeah, this would be the time and the place to call a bottom here in the wheat if we're going to get one.
So let me see if I can't put all of this together. You're telling me that if the wheat can manage to turn around, you're willing to ride that tail. But otherwise, we've got an awful lot of bearish in front of us, including the corn number that you gave us. So you must have some pretty bearish numbers out there in front of you someplace too. Is that right?
I don't want to give that impression. I think okay. what we're trying to say is the wheat should be the first one to turn around here. And I would also say, to your point, the S&P 500, the gold, and the crude oil have all rallied very nicely off the major lows that we put in this past spring, last winter time period. If we can't do something with that and keep those highs and keep those levels, then you've lost a lot of your momentum to be able to rebound here. What I'm really trying to say, Todd, is that we go back to trading weather and supply and demand fundamentals after these acreage numbers come out, because that's usually what we do. And if we don't have the outside markets on our side, if we don't have the wheat on our side, and all of a sudden the weather stays warm and stays wet, I don't know too many people in Chicago that are really going to want to buy this. And so it really goes back to the question that all the producers are asking right now: are the highs in right now? And that's what this timing of the wheat, this timing of the outside markets, not getting too much of a bearish report in the acreage, trying to get even a bullish report in the acreage, whether it's corn or beans, I'd take either one just to give us some fundamentals that would support this market during this time period, so we wouldn't have to rely solely upon the weather like we usually do this time of year.
Oh, give me your corn number again. What was it for acreage?
We're looking at 85.8. Now, I will say we're already down below 150 on yield because we don't think we'll have the same weather that we had last year because it was just near ideal. So we're running a 149 yield. With our demand number, we're running right around a 1.4 to 1.3 carryover right now.
Okay, and so you've found about 900,000 acres that USDA hasn't accounted for, at least hadn't accounted for,
yes,
in March.
Exactly, because the principal crops were down 7 million in the March report. We still think they got to go back and address that.
And they're going to put 900,000 back into the corn market, in your opinion. Where will they come from? We know that they can do it fairly quickly. At least they have in the recent years in the United States. That's for sure.
We know they can do it, don't we?
Yes, we do.
The West would be the big number because they were looking at reductions in corn acres in Minnesota, Iowa. I think even Nebraska was not looking at much of an increase at all, if any increase. So those Western states, back in the early part of the spring, I remember vividly when we couldn't plant, they were going gangbusters, and the Western clients we had said that they would go ahead and plant extra corn before the rains did come because they didn't want to turn off and go off to something else when they had the weather on their side. So I think the most logical place would be we'd lose it in Kentucky, lose it in Tennessee, lose it in Illinois and Indiana and Missouri, but we could pick up and offset that more than that in Ohio, in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, the Dakotas, Nebraska. We're looking for a big increase in Nebraska based upon the anecdotal evidence.
Yeah, and so they had their fertilizer on. They put more on, and they went ahead and planted the corn acres because they had the good weather to do it with, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, they were cool, but they were dry, and they could get in on time, and that's exactly right.
What else do we need to talk about? Livestock today?
Yeah, we had a hogs and pigs report. It wasn't anything shocking, and so that's good. We hope that the negativity has been factored in because there were a couple slight bearish numbers in the report. I think the trade, and we would say we here were looking at more of a liquidation phase than we got. In other words, the farrowings for the March to May, they came in right as expected at 97%, but the farrowings for June to August came in at 97%. That was above the average by almost a full percent. We also saw that the over 180-pound weight group pretty much ready to market, came in at 100%. The average trade guess was 98.5. I think that may keep some pressure on the cash, keep some pressure on the front-end future. But like I said, hopefully with no shocking numbers in it, we factored some of this in because the July chart's trying to form a double bottom here.
All right. Thanks much.
Thanks. Have a great weekend, Todd.
You too. Mike Zuzlow is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That one happens each and every Friday afternoon.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. If you'd like to hear it again, you can do that on our website at willag.org. If you can't get to the web or hear us on the radio, how about dial in this number, 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. It's just a telephone number, 217-333-3434. We post updates there at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Dave Dickey is here now with the Ag News for the day.
In agricultural news, U.S. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu says he would like automakers to voluntarily ensure new vehicles can burn E85, a blend of 85% ethanol and 15% gasoline. Chu says, quote, "I've been told it costs about $100 in gaskets and fuel lines to turn a car so it can go all the way to E85. Wouldn't it be nice to put in those fuel lines and gaskets so that we can use any ratio we want?" However, Chu says there is currently no plans at the Energy Department to force automotive companies to produce E85 cars and trucks. A group of 11 countries that are part of the European Union is calling on the European Commission to propose amendments to Europe's regulations regarding genetically engineered crops. Specifically, the 11 want legislation that would allow individual EU member states to make their own decisions about whether to allow biotech crops to be grown within their borders, rather than be guided by EU-wide regulations. U.S. grain futures markets, which historically have regulated themselves, are bracing for tighter government supervision after a U.S. Senate committee blamed big speculators for overinflating wheat prices in recent years. A U.S. Senate panel earlier this week blamed commodity index funds for driving up wheat futures prices so high last year that it became impossible for grain firms to use Chicago Board of Trade contracts to hedge their purchases. The Senate probe came after months of criticism by U.S. grain firms that the Chicago Board of Trade wheat contract, the world benchmark for wheat processing, was broken. But the CME Group, the parent company of the Chicago Board of Trade, is denying the report's findings, repeating its stance that fundamental supply and demand factors, not speculation, were responsible for the increased wheat price volatility. Conagra Foods said yesterday that its fiscal fourth quarter profit fell 13% as the prior year period benefited from the sale of its commodity trading unit. The maker of Chef Boyardee, Hunt's Tomato Sauce, and Ready Whip earned $174.7 million, or 39 cents per share, for the 3 months ending May 31st. That's down from $201.3 million, or 41 cents a share, a year earlier. Revenue grew 8% to $3.2 billion from $3.07 billion on improved sales at its consumer foods division. Brands that reported double-digit sales growth included Healthy Choice, Banquet, Hebrew National, and Peter Pan. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and of Commodity Week. That second program is our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. You can hear it anytime you'd like from our website. In fact, before any radio station ever airs the program, we posted it, willag.org. It'll be there by about 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest on Commodity Week, Brian Hoops, at 6 o'clock. You can listen to it at willag.org. Don't forget to sign up and have it delivered to you automatically as a podcast. Now, up next, you know the National Soil Tilt Lab in Ames, Iowa, is and has been researching the best ways for U.S. farmers to enter the carbon footprint game. I'll have more on how the lab is exploring carbon sequestration. The National Tilt Lab belongs to the USDA. The director of the Ames, Iowa facility says it focuses primarily on farming systems and environmental quality. more to the point on how soils are involved in those two issues, with the goal of improving productivity while at the same time reducing the environmental impact. And that brings us to carbon sequestration research Jerry Hatfield says his lab has been doing.
Carbon sequestration is really, you go back in time, is how we always built soil. We built soil because we put carbon in it. We put organic material into the soil. And now producers are going to be paid to sequester carbon. But you think about the advantages of it. You improve the carbon or improve the organic matter of the soil. You improve the infiltration rate. So it means we can absorb water quicker. We improve the water holding capacity because it's more sponge-like. We improve the nutrient cycling capacity. So you get all of these benefits that happen that have an agronomic piece, and yet they also have a monetary piece because farmers say, well, you know, I can put carbon in here and I can get paid, you know, $5 a ton, $6 a ton, you know, whatever it happens to trade at. But it really has a benefit environmentally. And it has a benefit from a production side, too.
Research must be done in this area because of the uncertainty over just how much carbon can be put back into the soils and under what conditions that sequestration takes place.
One interesting piece is when you look at all of this is that we add carbon and we start adding it near the surface. But everybody's ignoring one very interesting aspect of this, and that's the microbial part of this whole system. Because the microbial systems within soils are the great tillers. And as we add carbon to the soil, it's really not about just adding carbon. What we're doing is we're feeding a microbial population that it's their decomposing bodies that really add to the organic matter.
So much so that Jerry Hatfield believes it's possible to restore soils to their condition prior to being broken by the plow. And still be farming them.
To me, this is a very fascinating opportunity that we have in all of this, is that we often thought that all this carbon sequestration and carbon management relative to producers would be in the upper 6 inches of the soil profile. I think it's going to be much deeper than that. And the deeper we can get that carbon into the soil, the more permanent it's going to become. But I think these things are achievable under what we would consider normal management practices.
That does not mean the chisel plow, but rather really reduced soil tillage, probably with an application of composted manure and a longer crop rotation that includes a legume of some sort.
I can give an example of what we've seen in different pieces, and that is that most of our carbon that we put into the soil is coming from the old decaying root system to start with. If we don't disturb that old root system, and one of the easier ways to do that is to split the middles in planting corn. Instead of planting corn over top of the old row, is move 15 inches off and plant between. Let that old root row decompose over the next summer. And where we've done this, we've seen changes in soil carbon over a 2 or 3 year period by a full percentage point.
Adding a forage crop into the rotation puts an even deeper root system into the carbon sequestration mix. These are the types of things that the USDA's National Soil Tilt Lab are exploring in Ames, Iowa. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilleberg of NOAA's Midwestern Regional Climate Center from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois will join us.
First Midwest Bank, serving you.
It's National Creamy Pralines Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Thomas Blanchard was born. An American inventor, he created a machine for mass-producing tacks. And at age 13, he developed an apple-paring machine. In 1817, the first coffee was planted in Hawaii on the Kona coast. In 1839, Gustavus Franklin Swift was born. Swift was founder of the meat packing business Swift & Company, the inventor of the refrigerated railway car, and the first to ship dressed beef to eastern markets instead of live animals. Swift also pioneered products including glue, soap, and margarine out of cattle parts previously discarded. Swift & Company was worth $25 million at the time of his death in 1903. And in 2003, Richard Plow died, an American ecologist. He was the founding president of the Nature Conservancy, and he helped found the World Wildlife Fund. In 1945, he was one of the first to warn about the dangers of DDT-deficient birds. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey here on the U of I campus, and a portion of NOAA joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we've had an awful lot of heat this week, and there have been a whole bunch of heat advisories. How odd is it at all to have a summer with this many days in a row that are that hot?
Actually, not odd at all. We've just been pretty lucky the last few summers not to really have any long stretches of hot, humid weather. And to be honest, this one was probably longer than most people would like because it pretty much lasted a week. But the good news is this doesn't look like it's going to hang around. This is not going to be a 3 to 4 week heat wave that we might have to be dealing with. Looks like another surge of warm, humid air tomorrow as this weak front that went through today and last night comes back northward. And then a fairly strong cold front coming through Saturday night into Sunday, which will change things for the better for the coming week.
And the further south you go in the state of Illinois, the hotter it is?
Yeah, it's, for example, here at on the hour we were 90 at Willard, and then with about a dew point of 62, which is incredible. That it was 72 or 73 yesterday. But you go down to the metro east area of St. Louis and Belleville, for example, is 92 degrees with a 74-degree dew point. Cahokia, 93 over 69. So it's still very hot and humid down there. The winds are out of the north and northwest down there, but the dry air is just not going to make it that far south before it comes back. So pretty much north of I-70 is not too bad in bad shape today. It is warm out there. It is hot out there, but it is considerably drier than it was yesterday.
And then tomorrow we get another day of heat. Will it abate by the end of the time? By the end of the day, or do we
Well, probably overnight. Well, the front will come through during the night, Saturday night, early Sunday, and in fact, probably through this part of the state, somewhere around midnight or so. So the early evening will be through northern Illinois and then overnight through the southern half of the state. And Sunday looks like a beautiful day, maybe a little on the more partly cloudy rather than partly sunny, perhaps, but substantially cooler and less humid. And it looks like temperatures next week will probably average near normal, which we're talking low to mid-80s generally for highs. And we won't be seeing any more dew points in the 70s for a while. So looks like things will get back to sort of a normal regime here for the next week, with maybe a warm-up coming the 4th of July weekend, but that's a little ways out yet.
And is that normal for all of the Midwest, you think?
As far as temperatures?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere east of the Mississippi, they'll have a little bit less effect west of the Mississippi. Tend to keep some hot weather through Missouri and western Iowa, maybe even western Minnesota a bit, but most of the Midwest will get some break from the heat.
Thanks much, Steve.
All right, Todd. Have a good one.
Yeah, it's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, where we produce the Closing Market Report. You have a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.